Amen. My daughter, Deputy Bishop Margaret, I know that lunch hour begins at exactly 12 p.m. So we have exactly 1 hour so you can enter lunch hour to be able to deliver this. So you can enter lunch hour. Is that true? Absolutely, right?
Yes, please, my lord, please.
Okay, so I'll try to squeeze it in here, even finish before. Now, blessed people, the Lord speaking very, very tremendously, beginning with this prophecy, 2005. The year 2005. And speaking throughout 2005, the Lord speaking throughout. The Lord talking about the glorious coming of the Messiah and at the same time warning about this war that is coming. And then this war now takes place. This is the longest running prophecy, only second to the master prophecy, the prophecy of the glorious coming of the Messiah. So that is absolutely significant, blessed people. And then the Gaza war takes place, that prophecy, the Iran war takes place, the complete prophecy. And then now it has covered all the news. This war has spread out. Now Iran is bombing all the Gulf states, Bahrain, Qatar, Dubai, I mean United Arab Emirates, Dubai and Abu Dhabi. At the same time, Oman, Saudi Arabia. This past night, they sent missiles to strike Jordan, Amman, Jordan, Iraq, and so forth, fighting 12 nations. And in the process, the Strait of Hormuz has become a big point of traction. The Strait of Hormuz has become a serious point of inflection, a point of clash, the Strait of Hormuz. And in the process, the global oil prices, global energy supply chain interrupted into South Korea, Hong Kong, Asia, all over the world. The European Union is involved, meetings, and yet another prophecy I gave on the Ukraine war is going on. Russia is very unrelenting on that side. Very, very serious. I'm simply talking about the major wars. And then the Lord said there is an earthquake coming soon in the ocean and a tsunami also. And today the Lord gets a little deeper into the war, shows me the building in Lebanon that is going to be totally destroyed. Now you see in Tel Aviv also explosion. And then the Lord showing me the Marine One, that helicopter that carries Donald Trump flying over the clouds. I don't know why he showed it to me. That means it will soon appear in the news. This is serious. What is the message the Lord is transmitting in all this? Even you now who believe, or even those who don't believe, what is God saying? First of all, the mere fact that prophecy is fulfilled, the fact that prophecy is spoken and prophecy is fulfilled is a big thing. Now we are dealing with the killing of Ali Larijani and also Kolam Reza Soleimani, the commander of the internal security forces in Iran, and the ruler, literally, Ali was the one ruling. The complexity of this war and the cascade. This morning, 5 attacks again in the center of Beirut. Tremendous. So, 5 Israeli strikes at the heart of Lebanese capital. People are startled, people are running, you know, people fleeing. Southern Lebanon, there's a ground war. This prophecy spoken in Jerusalem to the parliament there, parliamentarians, spoken to the leaders of Israel. And then now, it is fulfilled. What is the message? Before I talk about the coming of the Messiah that it's pointing at, just the mere fact that prophecy can be spoken and it's fulfilled is very serious. And the Lord is using that to make you understand that this is God's word. This is God's word. The word of God. In other words, when he fulfills it, he wants you to know it was the Lord who was speaking. It's kind of a validation and proving the validity of that word, that was God's word. When the Lord spoke, when I was speaking, either from Brasilia with the ambassador of Israel, or giving the prophecy all the way from Mbeya, Tanzania, into this time, you see it very clearly, the fulfillment now, God coming out and exonerating his word, or validating his word, or proving the validity of that message, saying that was God's word. That word came from the Lord. The mere fact that prophecy can be spoken and fulfilled is very serious. And by the Lord having me speak, and then it is fulfilled, the prophecy of this war, the Lord is coming out and said, that was my word. That was me, Jehovah. I, Jehovah, was the one speaking. And in so doing, the Lord is bringing the attention of this world the sovereignty of Jehovah. He's saying, I am the sovereign God. When I gave Israel the prophecy that clusters are coming, when you shoot, meeting Danny Zornstein, in Hebrew they call him Danny Zohari, but because they are Ashkenazis that come from the west, not Sephardim. Sephardim come from the east. Because they are Ashkenazis, so it becomes Danny Zornstein, but the real name is Danny Zohari. And I told him that be careful, there is a missile they shoot and it breaks out in clusters. Can you find out if that is true, if they have such a missile, so you can develop interceptors that can confront that? You see it on your screen now all the time. The fact that the Lord can speak and is fulfilled, the Lord is validating that word. He is exonerating it. He is saying the validity of God's word. This is God's word. It is valid. When I give the prophecy and is fulfilled, the Lord is saying, that is to this generation that has drifted away from the Lord, he is now talking about the sovereignty of God, that when he's spoken, it will come to pass. And in so doing, because all these are anchored, every prophecy I give is anchored on the Bible, the Lord actually is raising for the integrity of Bible scripture. When the Bible promised that I would appear into the scene, into the landscape, and in appearing, I would minister in this form, you can see that the Lord, by bringing us into the scene and using us now to do what was not thought of, call the cloud of God, order heaven to open, command it to bring rain, and it happens 29 times, cripples are walking, HIV is healed, all these things plus prophecy of war now here, COVID and name it, and this war, the Lord is saying that scripture, Scripture is his word, and Scripture is not dormant. He's raising the integrity of Scripture that obeys Scripture. If Scripture promised that this prophet would appear and minister in this form, shaking the whole earth, oh, then he has raised the integrity of Scripture. You must fear Scripture. You must honor Bible Scripture. You must capture Scripture into your heart, knowing that this is the word of God. It's high in integrity. It will be fulfilled. And so this is one of the ways in which the Lord also brings to the fore, to this modern generation, he brings to them the fact that he is divine. Even his prophet is divine. His prophet comes from him and speaks his word and does his agenda, and the divine God of heaven completes it. It reveals the divine nature of God himself. These prophecies, you see, before we touch on the message on the coming of the Messiah, it is pointing to all these prophecies. Every detail I give has a purpose. Everything the Lord speaks is tailored towards the coming of the Messiah. Even that helicopter, even that building that went down, the escalation and all this. And of course, the tribulation that's coming. Pointing to the coming of the Messiah. So, the Lord is using these prophecies he sends me to give, and their accurate fulfillment. He's using this to say to this generation, to mankind, to humanity, to this age, that the Bible is truthful. The integrity of Scripture, the truthfulness of the Word of God, of the Bible. He's telling them that the Bible is from God, has come from God. The Bible promised that this prophet would appear and minister like this, shake the earth, capture all the news, 24/7 across the years. Very serious. The truthfulness of the Bible. The only book that is truthful, that you may now stop reading all the other books, and trust in the word. Another thing that you see from the mere fulfillment, just the mere fulfillment that someone stepped forward, has been saying it in the Latin America, in the North America, in Africa, in Australia, everywhere, Asia, talking about this war that is coming, until that war happens. That is serious. The Lord is saying that that war has a significance towards the glorious coming of the Messiah. So the Lord was saying he's going to bring about that war to ravage the earth and prepare the earth now for the tribulation. That's obvious. You can see it here. So in other words, the fulfillment of this prophecy is key. God Almighty is saying that in so doing, if he can say something, that I plan to bring this war, I plan to bring my servant first of all, and my servants appear, then they begin to tell you what the Lord is planning to do, to bring this war, to ripen the earth for the tribulation and the coming of the Messiah, of course. Then in other words, the fulfillment of this prophecy helps us, mankind, helps you, the world, to reveal God's plan for humanity, for mankind. To reveal God's plan. The plan he has. He spoke about it. He said, I'm planning to bring this war. And the war has appeared. And you see very clearly, Israel is at the center of your news now. Meaning he's saying, I am planning to bring this war. The role of Israel. He's revealing God's plan for mankind. The plan he has for Israel, even after the church is taken. The plan he has for taking the church. The plan he has for Israel. The role of Israel in God's redemption plan. That's all you see playing out here on your news. The role of the church in God's plan. That's what you see in your news. If it is pointing to the church that prepare the Messiah is about to happen, about to take the church. He's pointing on the role of the Messiah in God's plan. And he's pointing towards the establishment of the coming kingdom of God. You can tell. Destroy all the kingdoms of men and then now build the eternal kingdom of God Almighty. That is the message you pick by the mere fulfillment of the prophecy that I spoke it and is fulfilled. That is the first message that you extract from there. God saying, this was my word. I'm the one who spoke. When the prophet of God spoke, it was I. When the mightiest prophets of God speak, it is I. The validity of God's word. Validating God's sovereignty. He runs his program without debating with anyone. He says, I'll do, he does it. The integrity of Bible scripture. He promised this hour, these messengers, the administration, it is happening. The scripture is high integrity, Bible. That God is sovereign. The authority of God to bring about everything. That he runs the seasons. He's talking about the truthfulness of the Bible, the truthfulness of this prophet, the truthfulness of the word of God. That everything these two prophets say must be fulfilled accurately. The truthfulness, it's amazing, the message is tremendous. And so, having realized now that everything the prophets of Yahweh, these prophets have prophesied, everything we have prophesied is fulfilled accurately. Whether it's Haiti earthquake, Chile earthquake, Mexico, what, everything, Nepal, you know, Philippines, neutron stars, COVID, everything, including this war. Having realized the integrity of the word we speak, the Lord has come out to vindicate it, validate it, the validity of everything I say. Even when I curse HIV, it disappears from the blood. Then the next level, the higher level of this for you that are tuned in, is that the Lord is saying that the fulfillment of this prophecy you see on your screen, and many others, but this particular one now, is meant to encourage you to be an impetus for a holy Christian living in the body of Christ. It's meant to be an encouragement, a stimulus to foster, to encourage you to now pursue a holy Christian living. Why? Because you know very well, throughout the entire Bible, on every occasion when the Lord sent us the prophets of Yahweh to talk to humanity, it is normally a call to repentance, announcing, look, the Messiah is coming and the judgment is coming. So it's a call to repentance. And that call to repentance is normally a way to encourage the Lord's people, the church, Christians, believers, to now begin to pursue godliness, a holy life, a righteous life, a separated life, a holy living, a holy Christian lifestyle. After now the validity that everything we speak is God's word must be fulfilled to the letter. When we warn you, say, please be careful the way you're serving God, you might end up in the lake of fire. Be careful. It's not man talking to you. It's the Lord talking to you. If you continue that way, you will end up in the lake of fire. You'll be disappointed on that day. It's God speaking. Once you understand the validity, the gravity, the integrity of what we speak, as the Lord has demonstrated it very powerfully, including neutron stars, COVID, earthquakes, and now here. Then the next level, what is the message? After knowing that what he speaks is the Lord's. Normally, when you look at the Bible, every time the Lord sends us his prophets, the prophets of Yahweh, it's normally God encouraging mankind to return to him, to stimulate him, to foster him, encourage him for a holy living before the Lord. And this time we're talking about the church, a holy Christian living. And because the prophecy that we give normally talks about the coming of the Messiah and the coming judgment of God, then you can tell we came preaching repentance. That's why we came preaching repentance. It's normally a call to repentance when you see the prophecy fulfilled like this on your screen. It's a call to repentance, a clarion call to repentance. And to encourage you, the believers, the Christians, the born again, the saints, to now pursue a godly life, godliness, a righteous life, a holy living, a holy Christian life. Especially that we announce and we make you know that there is the coming judgment of God, which we have started executing. Look at on the screen. Judgment on Israel, judgment on the nations. Especially that, it should really foster and encourage you, be a catalyst for a holy Christian living. Especially knowing that the Messiah is coming and the judgment of God is coming. Another reason why you see now the prophecy fulfilled, like what you see on your screen when we stood on the mountain of Hashem, mountain of the Lord, and gave this prophecy that has now become global, threatening to overshadow, actually it has overshadowed the Ukraine war. You see the Ukrainian president now running from place to place, trying to seek attention. Please don't forget this other war, this side with Russia. Another reason why when we speak is fulfilled, prophecy is fulfilled, this prophecy, longest running, is to help you, the church, the Christians, to now develop a perspective on everything happening on the earth, a heavenly perspective. In other words, contextualize that everything you see happening on earth is happening for a reason. And should lead you to preparedness. Prepare. Now when you look at your news, say, wow, the Messiah is coming. Then I need to prepare. When you look at the oil prices, the fire, the running, people, homes are destroyed, bombs and everything. It's for you. It should comfort you, encourage you. Because you know your redemption is near. The King is coming for you. You thank God you're living in a generation where the signs of his coming are playing out on the screen. Very serious, blessed people. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, he will give you a glorious body. Hebrews 12, 14, without holiness, nobody will see the Lord. God talking to you about what is coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18, he's coming to take the church. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 to 56, he's coming to glorify you and rapture you. Revelation chapter 6 up to chapter 19. The tribulation is coming. Revelation chapter 20 verses 4 to 6. He will resurrect people and establish the eternal kingdom. They reign with him. Revelation 20 verse 11 to 15. The judgment is coming. The great white throne judgment is coming. If your name is not in the book of life, thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 8. The glorious is no pain, no sorrow, no crying, no surgeries, no tears, no mourning. Revelation 22, the coming kingdom of God, the new Jerusalem. So powerful. The Lord is pointing at what is coming. The reason he makes me speak and prophecy is fulfilled, he wants you to know what is coming, what God is planning to bring up, planning to do, God's plan. And that should foster a holy Christian life when you know what is coming. That the Messiah is coming, and that without holiness nobody will enter, and that the tribulation is coming, Revelation 6 to Revelation 19. It will be unbearable, and that will make you prepare. And that there is the second coming, when now he restores Israel, the role of Israel, and the millennial reign of Christ, where you reign with him, and the white throne judgment, and the eternal state, where those who are holy will enter into eternity with the Lord, new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. He's saying all this should catalyze a holy, foster a holy Christian living in the body of Christ. So he's not showing Christians a movie. I'm shocked. The church is moving on normally. That's another news item. Not at all. It should foster a holy Christian living in the body of Christ. It should create a repentance revival. That's all he's announcing in this news you watch. Calling for a repentance revival. Why? Because the Messiah is coming. Why? Because the judgment of God follows. To live holy, to pursue godliness, righteousness, fear of God, separation. Why? Because the judgment of God is coming. The Messiah is coming. And should make you understand that whatever you watch in your news is not just some coincidence, some accidental thing, not at all. The Lord is saying them, it contextualizes now everything you see. When you see prophecy fulfilled like this, then you realize everything you are seeing is pointing towards heaven, towards the kingdom of God, and should lead you to a higher state of preparedness. It should lead you to a greater awareness that, wow, our redemption is near. Comforting you that no matter how terrible the bombs, when they destroy a place, that debris, that destruction, people are digging each other from the soil and fall, or whatever that, for you, that should be a comfort that the Messiah is coming and should calm you down and focus on preparedness. Because then you get to know that in whatever you see, however chaotic it looks like, God is still the one in charge. God is still the one that is in charge. However chaotic it looks, Daniel chapter 9, 24 to 27, he talked about the 69 weeks, the Messiah would go to the cross, and the Messiah would now, you know, deliver the church. And then the 70th week, before it comes, you can now see the church, the mystery has appeared. And you know, the 70th week is near. God is talking about seasons. You can see on your screen that the tribulation, 70th week is near. Israel is boiling. Israel is at the center of the earth. That should tell you that God is still in charge within that chaos. He's the one who determines these seasons. And therefore, for you, that should be a comfort. Lead you to greater height of preparedness. Comfort you that, wow, he's coming to take me home. Give me a glorious body that does not have diabetes, cancer, leukemia, hypertension, surgeries, medication, pain. Very serious, blessed people. Matthew 24, he talked about these times that you see here. So it should really encourage you that, wow, my God is still in charge in all this. In all this chaos and destruction, God is still the one controlling these seasons. And he has promised in Revelation 3:10 to deliver me before the worst of the worst appears. And above all, in all this you see, when I stood in Israel on that mountain of the Lord, I told them the king is coming. When I've gone all over the nations, I've told you the Messiah is coming. I told Israel, your Messiah is coming. Prepare for him. So the fulfillment of all these prophecies, especially you see on your screen, the prophecy of this war, it establishes the authority of the Messiah, puts the Savior, the coming King, at the center of our lives. It is all about the coming of the Messiah, what you're seeing on your screen here. It's all about his redemptive work on the cross. That if you accept him, the generation has rejected him. It's all about the triumph of the Messiah who is coming. And the death and resurrection of the Messiah. He triumphed over death. That's all you see happening in this world. It's all about the Messiah. People have decided to worship other gods, Islam and name it. It's all about the Messiah. It establishes the divine identity, the divinity of the Messiah, the Savior. That the Savior is coming. You can't ignore him. All the things that made you ignore him, oil, petroleum, is destroying it. It's blasting those tanks. And he's talking about the return of the church to him in repentance. And he's coming to take the church. The judgment of God on the sinful, rebellious world. That's all you see on your screen. The Messiah is the one that will judge. It's all about the Messiah. The upcoming millennial reign of the Messiah. The return of the Messiah to deliver us into the eternal state. The millennial reign. Israel will be at the center of God's agenda on the earth. So this prophecy fulfilled here really establishes the Savior, that Jesus is the only Savior, no one else. And you can see God's sovereignty right there in this prophecy. Very powerful. God's sovereignty. He runs the seasons. And that God finally wins. Daniel chapter 2, 44 to 45. God must finally win. The Lord must finally win. The church must finally appear before the throne of God. The church must appear before the throne of God. Must appear. The glorious stairs I talked to you about must be lowered. The vision of January 15, 2017, the church going up, touching the glorious stairs and entering, must happen. When we come back, with the permission of Margaret, I have 30 more minutes. I will want to talk about, if you don't prepare them, what happens? I want to touch the visions he has mentioned about the time after this. Thank you. Now, blessed people, right now breaking is Israel has just assassinated the intelligence minister in Iran this past night by airstrike. The Israeli Air Force must be really, really sharpest, the most powerful in the whole world. They have assassinated the intelligence minister in Iran, Khatib. And this is what's going on now. Yesterday, it was Ali Larijani and also the commander of the internal forces. Today it is Ismail Khatib. And they said they should expect, the world should expect some new surprises today. Very serious. And so when you see all this, when you see this war, blessed people, this war that was prophesied and the duration of prophecy, it began at the same time with the prophecy announcing the glorious coming of the Messiah and raising this war as being a very important demarcation towards that coming of the Messiah. So in light of this seriousness of what we're handling right now in our news, then what is the message? So we've seen that the Lord is saying that when his servants speak, it is he, Jehovah Yahweh himself speaking. That's why he fulfills them accurately. That is the word of God himself trying to tell this generation about God's plan, to tell them of God's plan for humanity, to tell them about what is coming so that they may be given the chance to prepare those who want to enter glory. Remember, Jesus is already enthroned in heaven, according to Daniel chapter 7, 13, 14, when he ascended on high. And so, whether you like it or not, he will come back. He will come and establish the throne here. And so, if the Lord is using this prophecy of the Israel-Iran war and its fulfillment, the dreadful fulfillment we are seeing in our news, Ismail Khatib, the Iranian Minister for Intelligence, has just been assassinated this past night. That's on top of the two yesterday. Tremendous. And the Lebanon, the Lebanon front is moving on. The building the Lord showed me has been brought down. And so this is tremendous. What is the Lord saying in all this? If it is that now he's saying this is his word, as we now know, this is now the Lord speaking. It's now obvious to everybody, all and sundry, that this is the Lord speaking. Then what is the message of the Lord? What is the Lord saying? If the Lord is saying that this prophecy of Israel-Iran war is simply a pointer to you that everything else, the mega prophets of God we have said, will come to pass, accurately so. Then what then is the Lord saying? We know too well that we have come to announce to this age, this generation, this dispensation, that the Messiah is coming, that there is a particular day which has been set aside by the Lord God Almighty called the day of the rapture of the church. And that day will take place. That is what the Lord is using, this accurate fulfillment of prophecy spoken from Jerusalem. He is using it to say that even the Messiah will return. Because all this points towards the coming of the Messiah. Then can we look at that day which the Lord has been pronouncing? He has been proclaiming, announcing to the nations. I have read to you, I have explained to you, I've shared the visions with you, that on that day the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the souls of those who fell asleep in him. Very serious, dramatic day when the Lord, I have seen him already, descending into the sky. When the Lord Jesus himself will walk down, descend into the sky. And I have said again and again that he will descend in his infinite glory, in his eternal glory, in his authority and power, and that he will descend in the human form. That's why he said the Lord himself, just as he went, the same Jesus that went will come back in his human form, except that this time in tremendous glorified body, in his majesty, in his crown, right above the earth here. So when you watch this news, you can now tell that that day will take place, that the Lord will for sure descend, is about to descend actually, about descend into the sky here and take the church and plunge the earth to her devices, surrender the earth to her devices. And I have again and again said that when he descends, he shall give a shout, an order to the dead people, the dead, to wake up. He will give a shout. And we know that in John chapter 10, if you read 27 to 30, he says, my sheep know me, they know my voice, they hear my voice, they respond to my voice. And in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, he says, they are sleeping the dead of the earth, they are sleeping the dust of the earth. Some will resurrect awake, resurrect to everlasting life, others on the final resurrection for judgment. So he's talking about that event. He will shout and they will resurrect for eternal life. And he says, you remember John 11:43, when he shouted, the authority of the voice of the announcement, the shout of God. Lazarus, whether the body was fluid, flowing, the bones rotten, flowing, totally devastated like fluid. All the cells came back together, the DNA, the everything, plus his soul was called back. And he was resurrected. That is what will happen. It doesn't matter whether somebody died in the ocean, or he died and he was cremated, and then they took the dust and poured in the ocean, at the beach where he loved to go with his wife or whatever. all that will be called back. That is the day of power. And by watching this prophecy fulfilled, the Lord is saying, be careful, that day will be fulfilled. That event that my prophets have announced, it is I myself who has announced it will happen. Be careful, it will take place. And I have also again and again said that on that day, the archangel who comes with Christ will repeat the shout. And I've said, I've heard the voice of the archangel saying, look, the Lord is about to appear in the sky. So when you see this prophecy fulfilled, it tells you that in that cascade, yes, indeed, even the archangel that he descends with will shout. In other words, the role of the angels of God. This past weekend, I told you that this alludes to God telling us that, look, the angels have a big role in his redemptive plan. If you look back when Jesus was to come, when John the Baptist, begin with John the Baptist, before John the Baptist is born, the angel appears to Zechariah by the altar of the Lord and announces that John the Baptist would be born to prepare the way for the Messiah. And then, when now it's time for Jesus also to be born, the angel Gabriel came and announced the role of angels. The Lord is pointing here on how critical, how important it is, the role of angels, the angels of the Lord in his redemptive plan for man. John the Baptist, before he was born, the angel appears to Zechariah. Jesus, before he's born, Gabriel appears and announces. And we have seen the role of angels throughout. I have given you the examples of when he has sent Gabriel to talk to me. Gabriel, I even know how his hair falls. In fact, his hair falls towards the left. His hair falls towards the left. And I have seen him. The Lord has sent him to me a few times with a message. He's the courier angel of the Lord, the one transmitting the message, always with a message. And he's saying that even on this day of the rapture, the angels will have a tremendous role. The archangel will shout in God's plan for redemption. He will also repeat the shout. And we know too well that also during the tribulation, in fact, I've seen the trumpet sounded also. But during the tribulation, you remember the trumpet judgments. It's the angels that will announce. They're the ones that will trumpet as the judgments roll out. It is the same angels. It is the angels of Yahweh still. Their role, their critical role in God's redemptive plan, well displayed here. They are the ones who will again roll out the bowl, the veil, the bowl judgments. And if you go to Revelation 20, it's another angel that comes and binds Satan and ties him and throws him into the bottom of the abyss for 1,000 years. He's pointing here to the role of his angels in God's redemption plan. And so the archangel who comes with Christ shall repeat the shout. There is Michael, there is Gabriel, and the Bible mentions other angels. Calls them archangels also. We know that Gabriel announced Christ coming. Maybe this will be Gabriel again. When he announced that Jesus would come in the manger. But there are other archangels. And they also announced the coming of the judgment of God Almighty. So, this shouting of the angel announces that Christ is coming, and that announcement also constitutes judgment is coming, because Christ comes to judge. Then I have again and again said that I've had the trumpet of God sounded. The trumpet will sound, summoning all people, the beloved of the Lord, to appear before the throne of God. And so that also points us to the role of trumpet blasts. The trumpet of the Lord on Mount Sinai announce the arrival of God, the arrival of the Lord. The trumpet blasts. They talk about summoning for a sacred assembly. Very serious, blessed people. The trumpet also used to be an announcement that judgment is coming. And then I've said again and again that I've seen the rapture of the dead. The dead in Christ will be raised glorified. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Philippians chapter 3, 20 and 21. Even the vision of October 18, 2021, that God tells these people that when the rapture takes place, they will have glorified bodies like mine. Glorification. And therefore, the Lord is saying, when you watch this prophecy of the fulfillment of Israel-Iran war, you should eagerly await the Lord. Await the Lord eagerly. Eagerly await him. Wait for him. He's coming. You should be eagerly awaiting the Lord. Eagerly. You should be eager to see his return. You should be aware that he is coming. So I should wait for him. Because he's saying that glorified body, glorification will take place. I've announced to you again and again how I have seen them glorified and taken up. Glorified and taken up. And you see that that glorified body is the final state of defeating sin, the future state of you, the Christian believer. So when you see these events rolling out in the news, you're like, just a moment, my glorification is near. This is very serious. The imperishable body. I'm about to get the imperishable body. Let me prepare in earnest. The immortality, immortal body, no death. That moment's about to take place should encourage you. A body that is fashioned to be like that of Christ. Tell them they will have bodies like mine. A glorious body, which signifies final victory over sin and death. You should be more encouraged when you see this kind of prophecy fulfilled in your news. That, wow, very soon I will defeat sin and death. Let me continue soldiering on righteousness, holiness, separation, fear of God, looking up, waiting for the king, readying myself, preparing myself. Final victory is near. In other words, no amount of suffering on this earth should now deter you. Because he's saying, then you will not suffer anymore from heat, from cold, from hunger, from fatigue, tiredness, sickness. I mean, you should be really encouraged to look forward to the coming of that glorification when the Messiah arrives, when you look at this prophecy roll out. Because you know now you'll have a body empowered by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit himself. A body that has form, has solidity, solid, can enjoy a meal by the Sea of Galilee. Is impassible. Cannot sense disease or death. 1 Corinthians 15:53, imperishable body. 1 Corinthians 15:42-44. It's a spiritual body, it's a physical body, it's a glorious body, it is a powerful body, it is totally submitted to the Holy Spirit, a supernatural body. Philippians 3:20-21, it is conformed to the body of Christ. Tell these people, when the rapture takes place, they will have bodies like mine. Serious. And that day, as I've said, is always 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. And therefore, he's saying, when you see this kind of prophecy, Colossians 3:1-4, focus up there. Focus up there where Jesus is. Jesus is the center of Christian life. That's why he said the Lord himself will come down and we'll go meet him up there. He's saying our salvation, our faith, Christian faith, is centered on Christ. We are in Christ. And we'll be with him forever. And therefore, Matthew 6, 19 to 24, store up for yourselves credit, treasures in the kingdom of heaven, not on this earth. Right now, the church is storing up on the earth so much wealth, buying land, doing things, investing in business, transportation business, and what have you. This is what should provide hope for the Christian believers. In Luke 16, verse 23, you remember Lazarus and the rich man. This body that Lazarus got, this glorified body, is recognizable. Remember, the disciples of Jesus would once in a while recognize him, say, "This is the Lord." Matthew 22, 30, that body has no marriage, cannot marry. It's like the body of angels, cannot marry. And only with that body, Revelation 20, verse 4, can you be able now to reign with Christ, the body like that of Christ. Why wouldn't you prepare? And yet that glorification is being announced in your eyes right now, that the hour of Christ's return and glorification is nigh. The same prophet who has pronounced what you see on your screen, the war between Israel and Iran, is the same one who has announced that the Messiah is coming. Prepare the glorious body. That body does not have a functioning circulatory system. Blood, not at all. John chapter 20, 26 to 28 does not have a circulation of blood, because there was no bleeding. Jesus is not bleeding. He was injured after the cross, but he was not bleeding. Very serious. It has a capacity to appear and disappear. Mark 16, verse 14. Appear in one place and disappear instant. John chapter 20, verse 27 to 28. It was recognizable. They could see him. This is the Lord. He was recognized and recognizable by his disciples at the same time. That body has the ability to change appearance. That's why sometimes they will not detect him. They will not realize he's the one on the way to Emmaus. Sometimes they thought he was a ghost when he appeared in the upper room, and they were terribly afraid. The body that can enter a place without crossing the wall or crossing the roof or a locked door, just appear. It's a super powerful body that Jesus himself had. So this should cause a longing in your hearts to long for that glorious body, that when you see the events roll out in your news, and he says, therefore, you should be eagerly awaiting him, eagerly awaiting him. This prophecy you see now on your news should cause a conflict in you between your present life and the future eternal glorified state you'll have. There should be that serious conflict and groaning. You should refuse this, say, wow, I'm longing for the future state, because now I'm being reminded here that's about to happen. It's about to happen. And so you should eagerly await the Savior. Why eagerly? Because now, when you look at how terrible the wars are, Russia, Ukraine, and this one is, then you know that the judgment of God is coming, and it will be terrible. It will be a terrible judgment. And yet, it should make you know that Revelation 3, 10 to 11, he promised to take you before that judgment. So you should be preparing to be taken, to be evacuated. Psalm 27, verse 5, tells you that that judgment is going to be rough, but God will remove you from here before it. You should be preparing. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, tells you that that judgment will be terrible, but God will secure his beloved. You should be preparing. Luke 3, verse 7, that judgment is severe. Romans chapter 2, if you read the whole of it, or verses 5 and 6, it will be a severe judgment. Isaiah 24, we have read again and again, severest is coming. And yet God Almighty has a plan for the church. And so, when you see what is happening on the news, tall buildings being demolished in Beirut, missiles, what, everything, it should tell you that very soon the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the souls of those who are asleep in Christ. Infinite glory, powerful majesty. And he shall give the shout to the dead. They'll resurrect those who have loved him and then glorified, taken to him. Then the archangel will shout too. Then the trumpet will sound, summoning people to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And those different crowns will be given right there. Crowns, crowns, crowns. When you see Israel announcing that today they have killed the intelligence minister of Iran, and that there are more surprises coming, they're going to assassinate them all. When you see that, say, we've not been here before, then that means the Messiah is coming. You should prepare as a Christian. We are soon going to be removed from this. It's getting worse. You can tell the 70th week of Daniel will be fulfilled only when Israel is at war and longing for peace. She is already at war, serious war. He says, then the dead in Christ shall be raised, and the holy living saints, believers, will be translated. Then you should know that faithfulness will be rewarded. You'll be exonerated from death. Holiness will be rewarded. You'll be glorified, glorified body, glorified garments that I've described again and again and again and again. Glorified body, glorified garment. It's about to happen. And caught up with them in the air. Transportation into heaven. The grand reunion with Christ. That in our Christian faith, we are centered on Christ. Christ is our center. Should draw you closer to Jesus right now when you watch this prophecy fulfilled. I have again said to the nations, again and again, that the eternal state is near. The eternal state that you are going to be in is already determined by the way you live here. Yes, your choices are being made right here. Those who are choosing everlasting life is being chosen here. Washed by the eternal blood or not. Whether your garment is clean or if it was dirty, repentance revival came through this prophet and you washed it by the blood you prepared. Whether you are faithful to Jesus or not, whether you are waiting for him, whether you observe purity in 1 John 3 verse 3 or not, whether you eagerly awaited in Philippians 3, 20, 21, or whether you chose holiness, for without holiness nobody will see the Lord. Very serious, blessed people, extremely serious. So when you see what is happening on your screens, and you hear the same voice that prophesied it, it should really cause you to look back now. What else did he prophesy then, which is going to happen? And it should rendition your attention, call back your attention to the vision of the city of the New Jerusalem. When I came to you on a Sunday, January 29th, that January 29th, 2023, at 1:20 p.m. afternoon on a Sunday, and stopped the Sunday worship and gave you what the Lord had spoken in that afternoon, the eternal home of the righteous. That is what should come into your mind, that our going to that home is now nearer than ever, than before. That is what should come to your mind, that your entry into the eternal home is near. Therefore, you need to prepare and be like the church in Philadelphia to whom that promise was being given in Revelation 3:12. And that should remind you that without holiness, nobody enters. Hebrews 12:14. It should also rekindle in your mind the matters of Matthew 25:13. Therefore, you also be ready. When you see this, You must be ready. You must be prepared. When you see what's running on your screen now, Romans 13, 11, 15 should be in your heart, that our redemption, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Because never has Israel ever fought such a war. Romans 11, 25, the time of the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles is about to end. That should hit you. That prophecy on Romans 11, 25, the prophecy on the conversion of Israel, how Israel will be converted in verse 26 after the church is taken, should really hit you. The prophecy you see in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 14 to 15, when he says, you come like a lion to Ephraim. You come to judge them the 70th week, that they may seek him, that they may need him. When you look at this news, you realize, oh, just a moment. He is causing them to go through all this that they may need him. You see, the whole world has turned against them. The European Union has said, no, we can't help the USA to fight for Israel. To fight with Israel. And Israel is telling them that, no, we are capable of fighting this battle alone. I remember when I was meeting them, the senior leaders of Israel, I kept telling them that, remember that Israel alone will fight with the Lord. Only Israel and the Lord will deliver Israel. You may have friends left and right, but you know, the world will always let you down. They said, we know what you're talking about. But Hosea chapter 5, 14 to 15 should really ring very loud in your ears, in your head, when you watch what's happening here. When he says he will come now to devour Israel like a lion, that they may need him, that in their distress they will need him much. In their tribulation, God leaves that place. He leaves the temple because they did not accept him. His grace leaves. His presence departed. His protection left. His favor. It will be a difficult time, because you remember what the Lord says. He says that all these wars you see, like what you see on your screen, finally Jerusalem will fall. Finally, the Arabs will overrun Jerusalem, and every house ransacked, and women raped, almost all women raped, door to door. You know what the prophet says about the tribulation, Jacob's trouble. So when you see what's on your screen, it should tell you that, Hosea chapter 5, 14, 15 is about to take place. I need to prepare. And therefore, the prophet of the Lord, the two prophets that have given this prophecy from Jerusalem and put Israel in a place she has never been at all. When they do this and is fulfilled by the Lord accurately like this, it should remind you, what else have they said? They have always talked about eternal life. They have said there is a real place called heaven. Please prepare for it. They have always said that receive Jesus. Everlasting life is here. It's a gift from God through faith in Jesus. So therefore, reach out to more people. Tell them to have faith in Jesus. You want your loved ones also to have eternal life. And in John 17 verse 3, the knowing of God. The eternal life is knowing God. I have said again and again about eternal life, which is near now, for those who are born again, the rapture near. And I've always said that everlasting life starts from here. Just a few minutes ago, I just said it. Those who are entering, it should remind you the things I've said. Those are the words of God himself speaking to you. And the Lord has said again and again using these prophets that everlasting life starts from here on the earth. Those who are going to enter eternal life, if you look at the church, you look at them, the world, you can see them in the church. You can walk into church and tell one, two, three, you can tell this one, this one. You can even hear them sometimes, even on radio, you can hear their heart. Those who are chosen for everlasting life, for eternal life, are clearly visible here on earth in their choices and lifestyle. That should ring very hard in your head to the extent that you begin to examine, oh, how about me? Hmm? You should really now start examining. Hmm? Because I've said again and again that everlasting life starts from here on the earth. It starts with John chapter 3:16. So loved the world, he gave his son, whoever believes. John 3:36. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4:17. They are persecuted with Jesus. They are abused with Jesus. Romans 14 verse 8. Whether they are alive, awake, or they are asleep, dead, they live for Christ. They are rejected with Christ, abandoned with Christ, blackmailed with Christ. They have died with him and resurrected with him. Everlasting life starts from here on earth upon true salvation. True is the word there. Upon true salvation. Everlasting life. And I have said, so these are the things that when you look at this prophecy roll out on your news, war between Israel and Iran, it's becoming very, very shocking, historic, very ugly, and is expanding to the region. It should make you think back. What else has the Lord said through these prophets? I say that everlasting life continues after death. It starts here on earth upon true salvation. True, genuine, and continues. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. The soul returns to its maker. Genesis 3:19, death has come. John 11, 25, 26 will be raised on that day. John 14, 1, 3, to the Father's house. The rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13, 18. The book of Acts chapter 7, 55 to 60, Stephen, when he finished this, he went straight up. Heaven opened, he saw. Everlasting life continues after death. And those who will be awake when the rapture happens, there you go. You will not taste death. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8, groaning, longing to our eternal state, longing for our heavenly dwelling. I have spoken with you about heaven. Prepare for heaven. These are the things that should really, really sound in your mind when you see what is happening here. Another vision that should come close, making noise, screaming in your head when you see the news now, is the vision of the wounded beast. Saturday, January 7th, 2023. When I saw the Antichrist coming. When I come back, I'll handle that also, and then we'll close it. Thank you. Okay, so blessed people, the final segment now. We have seen that the Lord Almighty is speaking very, very clean to this generation. No confusion whatsoever, no ambiguity. Very, very clear. And the Lord Jehovah is talking to this generation very, very straight talk. A straight talk. Even a fool cannot err on this. And we saw that the fulfillment of this prophecy, this enormous prophecy you see in your news, essentially points to the glorious coming of the Messiah. And the fulfillment of the other prophecies, the master prophecy that has been given, that it's near. It's near. And so, when you see what is happening on your screen, happening now, demolition, destruction, aircraft, missiles, bombs, shootings, ground war, everything, it should tell you that Israel that's at the center here, at the center of this conversation on your news right now, her hour has come. any moment the Lord is about to take the church and begin the program of the restoration of Israel. And that is also known as the 70th week of Daniel. And in other words, when you see this mega prophecy fulfilled, this prophecy should actually rendition, should summon, resummon back some of the other prophecies, because the Lord is saying, this is my voice, I am the one speaking here. And so you should be like, what else then has the Lord said? And so January 7th, the year 2023, the vision of the wounded beast, the Antichrist, that should now be very clear to you that, hey, just a moment. Recently, from Brussels, the 12th of September 2025, the year 2025 from Brussels, September 12th, that September 12th, the Lord spoke and said, soon the church will not be here, and soon there will be no going to church. Very serious. And that it will be a difficult time when the Antichrist comes. So when you watch your news and you see this prophecy fulfilled, the first thing that should hit you is indeed the vision of the Antichrist coming. What has been shared to you again and again, that the Antichrist is coming. He is coming. And you should remember everything that was said about the Antichrist, everything I said on that day when the Lord gave this vision, January 7th, the year 2023, that he is called the Beast. Even what a name, Beast, in Revelation 13, 1 to 3. Revelation 11 verse 7 and Revelation 11 13, that he is called the Beast. That means he's really a beast. And in 1 John chapter 2 verse 22, he's called the Antichrist. So you should be aware of this, that the beast is coming, vicious beast. The beast is coming and is also called the Antichrist. Very evil satanic leader coming to reign the world, reign the earth. He's coming as a leader that will rule over the whole earth. And what should not escape your mind is that he is coming and he will be empowered by Satan's power. And empowered by Satan's throne, and empowered by Satan's authority. What a leader. And that's why you'd really want to prepare when you see your breaking news now. The prophecy of the war between Israel and Iran unfolding. You should really want to prepare very fast and say, no, I'm getting out of here. Even just his naming as the beast, he's called the beast. The purpose of that is to make you not want to be here, to make you run away. The beast. Very serious. And at the same time, called the Antichrist, against Christ. Against Christ. The lawless one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 8, does not observe any law, does not follow any law. The lawless one does not follow any law. The son of perdition, the foolish shepherd, the man of sin, the ruler who is to come, the little horn, whichever way he is characterized, he talks about evil, oppression, anti-God. Those things should come to your mind, that after this dispensation, there's another one coming whereby you will not be allowed to worship. You must be slaughtered if you want to worship. And the first thing that should strike your mind when you see this kind of news and remember that the beast is coming, then you should quickly begin to understand that the church, number one, is not protected in that time. The church is not protected in the tribulation. In other words, don't go there. And that's why Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 2, he talks about how the Lord is good at preserving his people to keep them away from judgment. And I remember that the Lord has spoken very clearly again and again and severally about the three groups of people with regard to the judgment in the days of Noah. To the flood that came and destroyed everything in the days of Noah. They are, number one, those who escaped, symbolized by Enoch, those who escaped before. Number two, those who perished in the floods, that's the world, the rebellious. And number three, those who are preserved through it, that's Israel. You can tell Israel must win, the Lord must win in this. It will get worse before it gets better. The Bible says there will be a slaughter of Israel. I've seen it in the vision of March 22nd, 2024, before I left for Venezuela National Revival. He showed me that. He showed me the Messiah is coming, the church is taken, and then on this side the horsemen are running, and then the pale horse, and then I saw the slaughter of Israel. I've announced it all over. And that should tell you that for you as the church, you're exempted. You are not party, you're not part of this. So you ought to prepare according to Genesis 18:25. Shall the righteous judge of all the earth take the wicked and the righteous and put to the same sword? Not at all. Far be it from you to do such a thing. Revelation chapter 3 verse 10. Because you have obeyed my command to endure patiently, I also now will remove you from this place, from the hour of trial that's coming to test the inhabitants of the whole earth. Nowhere to hide. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 9 and 10. The church is exempted. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 to 11. Exempted. These are the scriptures that must ring very loud in your mind. Isaiah 26, 19 to 22. Or 19, 26 should ring very loud. So, but God has a plan for his people. This same voice announcing this has been announcing evacuation, evacuation, evacuation. Prepare for evacuation. Matthew 16:18 should be very loud in your ears. The Lord said, and his church shall prevail, and the devil shall not prevail upon his church. And meaning the church shall prevail. So if at all the devil is waging war, according to Daniel 7:20-22-21, and overcoming, prevailing over them, that can only tell you that probably the church has been taken away. Because it promised in Matthew 16, the prophecy of the church, I shall build my church, and the devil will not prevail. So Daniel 7:21-22, when the enemy prevails upon them, the church must be gone. Revelation 13 verse 7. waging war on God's people, prevailing upon them, the church must have been taken. Daniel 8:23-26, church must have been taken. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 4-7, the church must have been taken. And that should let you now know that James chapter 5, 7-9 says, the judge is standing at the door. Any moment he can open the door and take the church, and you don't want to miss it, because there's no protection on the other side. You don't want to miss that. So, it ought to cause you to be more prepared, waiting for the King, waiting for the Lord. When you see what is going on your screen, prepare to enter now. Prepare now. There is no time. You look at the church right now. They know this is happening. They are attempting to move on with their lives normally. Oh, that is a tragedy. That is a big tragedy. That is an unbelievable tragedy. And for you Christians, the house of the Lord, the body of Christ, when you see this, it should help you now understand even better the need to separate out. It should make you want to re-examine yourselves, knowing the time is over. Let me just make sure I examine myself and be right. Because any moment, Israel is boiling. The prophetic clock of the Lord is Israel. And Israel is boiling. So, how? How? How can I be careless anymore? And it's a warning. This should be a warning to apostasy in the church, so you correct it. You know, we live in a world which is terribly compromised. A world of compromises. Everything. From the foods you eat. You can see human health, how it has been degraded, degenerated because of compromise. Totally compromised. The foods, the medicines, you have to really check, is this generic or what? Sometimes it expires also and they still put another sticker. Very deadly. And also even when the doctor gives you medication, so this is what you should take. Take it 3 times, breakfast, lunch, dinner. People still compromise. They don't adhere. Oh, I forgot. So you see, a compromising generation, building materials, buildings are collapsing every day. Imported goods, you really have to check and check. Cross-check on the phone you're buying. If it's the real one, or it's a counterfeit. So it is with the church. So this is the moment when that compromise should be a red flag shining up like this red. Because the church is also compromised. And the dangers of compromise should be ringing very loud when you see this news. When you look at the news you have now, the dangers of compromising should be ringing very, very loud in your ears. Luke chapter 16, verse 19-31. The rich man compromised his life. Look at that. The dangers of that compromise. Isaiah 5:20. They choose darkness for light. And separation. Separation has been well preached. But when you see this, I should separate from the world, because any time the Lord is coming, take the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14, 18, separation. The fall you see in 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, the fallen church. Separate from it, because it has been well preached and trumpeted again and again that he's coming to separate out his true holy church, genuine church, from the false church, fake church. So look at the warnings that should be sounding on apostasy. Hebrews 6, 4-6. Hebrews 10:26-31, if we deliberately continue sinning after receiving the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice. 2 Peter 2:19-22, 2 Peter 3:17, James 4:4, this love of the world you see in the church, at this time, stop it. It should cause you to fear it. When you look at this, you tremble. You fear. 1 John 2:15-17, don't love the world. Serious. Isaiah 29:13, they come to church. With their mouths, they try to worship me, but their hearts are elsewhere. Now is the time to be correct, to be right, to make amends, to be born again, once more, and walk right. Very, very serious. To make sure that your salvation is true, is genuine, because, today, they all fall under 2 Timothy 4:3. They love the gospel sweet to them, enjoyable to their ears. And they don't want to commit to conviction, to sin, to separation, the cost of salvation, cost of discipleship. And so the Lord is calling the church now to prepare. To prepare. And be totally separated from the moral decay of this world. And to make sure that the gospel, you take the gospel to the whole world now. Help them because of time. And you build in you the fear of God. It has been preached for 22 years. Very serious. Separated Christian life. To obey the Lord, to fear the Lord. Why? Because the King is coming. Because judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. You remember one time in the conference I talked about Jude 15. Coming to judge the ungodly for the ungodly things they have done in the most ungodly ways. The prophecy that Enoch saw. That ungodliness and sin will be judged. In other words, the unborn again people, the atheists, the apostate Christians, the other religions, you put them all there. The immoral, all of them will be judged. That's what he's saying. This is what should come to your mind when you see this kind of judgment on the earth. Pronounced by this prophet, you should be like, wow. God is really, truly going to judge the world, going to judge sin. Very serious. And he's going to judge the wicked actions of men, wicked deeds, and the wicked words. This is the time you should guard yourself from wicked deeds, wicked words of mankind. Because he says, judgment severe is to be brought to it. So this is the time when you should purify yourself. You should recall everything the Lord has spoken, because the Lord has made it clear now through all these prophecies, especially even now this one, that it is I, the Lord, speaking. I'm the one talking to you, talking with you. So you should recall all other things. Say, what else did he say? He spoke Jude 15. Judgment is coming on the ungodly, the unborn again, the atheists, other religions, apostate Christians. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. It's not a joke. The Lord will judge sin. When you look at the judgment unleashed now on Israel and the nations, then you realize judgment is coming. Ukraine and Russia, COVID and what? And this one here, the Gulf states, who? Nobody seems to be spared. And I say that Enoch, the Lord is amazing. I think that was one of the Bible studies here, Bible conference, when I said the prophecy God gave through Enoch before the floods, really at the beginning there, life had just begun on the earth. And people are rebellious. People were in serious rebellion and revolt against Yahweh. They were eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage, feeding the sensuality of life, the flesh, and sinfulness. People were serious blackmailers, mockers of God. They ridiculed the servants of God. So, and then you promise judgment, and then you should compare that with now. Then you realize, no, the Lord is going to judge this thing. He's going to judge this world. So the Lord brings that warning earlier. Now it's more vivid. Grand finale is here. It's going to take place. That judgment will happen. But he brings that warning in the first generation to severely warn humanity to always be aware that the final day of judgment is coming. That everybody will be brought to account, to give account of their lives. When you look at this culmination on the screen, that is what should be ringing in your hearts. That, hey, what is in my account? What is in your account? How will I account? Because now the culmination has come. Everything is going to happen. Judgment will come. That people should prepare for that historic day of judgment. I read from Jude 15, and I said it means everybody needs to prepare for that day. That was the purpose. It was meant to restrain man from sin, knowing that at the end there will be account. That's first generation. Now we are in the culmination. Look on the screen. On your news, you can see that it is now going to happen. It's going to hold people to account. Because he wanted to restrain mankind from this indulgence in sin. Today there is an over-indulgence in sin. A severest warning to man should be making your chest fear, your heart tremble. Very serious that the king is coming and judgment will take place. He gave that warning way back, first generation, that the king will come with thousands of his angels to judge. And now you can see now the earth has drawn close to that time. Very serious. And that same warning is being given to the church today, being given to mankind today. And then the good news of it, which I want to finish with tonight, before I give it to Ransom to take it away now, run his evening programs. Very serious. The good news we have here is that God Almighty can protect you today from what's happening here by focusing you are his, on the promise of the rapture, that he will take the church. So God's protection to his election is very clean and clear. He is not confused about it. You choose him, he steps out to protect you. You take his side. These are the days in which we need to be on the Lord's side so we can enjoy his protection. If you ever want to really look at the protection of the Lord, there are many scriptures in the Bible. I can even take the most difficult of times in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, verse 4. Or any other scripture. There are many scriptures. Or Revelation 7, 2, whichever one of them. It would be a dramatization of God's capability to protect you. He's saying the fifth angel, Revelation 9, verse 1. Fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it. The smoke from like that from a gigantic furnace, and the sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down on the whole earth, and they were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. That's stronger than snake venom. Serious. Verse 4, they were told not to harm the grass of the earth and the plants and the trees but only to harm those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not allowed to kill them, but only to torture them, torment them for 5 months. Look at that type of protection. That is now inside the tribulation. I just want to take the extreme to bring it to you here, that no matter the chaos you see today, no matter the everything mayhem you see, God is able to protect. If he can really protect this deep in the tribulation, how much more is he able still to protect you also here? And that is just a powerful example. You could read another scripture, Revelation 7, 2, and so forth. There are many. But these scriptures I've read to you and told you that to those who are faithful, he protects them from all this. That's why all this should comfort you, encourage you, that your redemption is near. Very serious. There are other scriptures that says Jesus went to hell and he took the key and he locked it. If you read the book of Revelation chapter 1, it is he, I am, the one that was dead, but now I'm alive. And I hold the keys to hell. Very powerful, really. Which is one of the greatest blessings or tidings that the Lord can ever give man. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, 18. He took away the key. The key to hell was taken away by Jesus upon victory over death. So this is the one you should depend on. The one who has power over death. Right now, death is surrounding the earth. He's trying to cover the earth, blanket the earth. You need to run to the one that overcame death. And in Revelation 1, 17, 18, which I've read for you again and again, indeed introduces him as such, himself as such, the key. That he is in control. That he didn't allow death and hell to reign uncontrollable, not at all, or to get people maliciously and throw them into the Hades, into the lake of fire, not at all. So that's the one we need to run to, the one that defeated death. He overcame the realm of darkness, death. He still supervises the activities of hell because he has the key. He created everything plus hell. The underworld. God Almighty, not allowing hell and death, death and hell, to unleash their wrath, their anarchy or terror uncontrolled. Not at all. He's still in charge. And so, that should comfort you that in whatever circumstance, in the tribulation, even now, Jesus is still in charge. God is still in charge. Then you run to him. Isaiah 9, you remember, the government is on his shoulder. Sovereignty of God. Nobody can contest. He holds the key to hell and death. It may look hellish right now on the earth, but he holds the key to hell. So he controls and examines and supervises the activities of hell to make sure that people are not maliciously thrown in there. Those who are his don't get there. So that death and hell may not go on a rampage uncontrolled, getting people and throwing them in. Not at all, not at all. I've said this to you. And that is looking for people who are repentant and holy. People that he can bring into his kingdom, the citizenry of heaven. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is everything you see in your news. He is the answer. I've seen worse come into the earth. Worse. Really worse. The glorious Lamb of God. Breaking the seals on the scroll. Becomes worse. was the horsemen running, doing things, total mayhem. When the demons were confronted by him, they said, "Have you come to finish us before the appointed time?" They submit before him. So we need now to receive Jesus. We must. In his majesty and royalty and authority and power and victory. But unfortunately, today's world is belittling, trying to belittle the Lord. It's important that this generation stops belittling Jesus. Like a baby in the manger or something else. We need to know the enormity of Jesus. That Jesus is so powerful, he holds the key that can open hell, open Hades, and release his people. He is the one that also shuts the door to heaven, to the unrepentant. Matthew 25, 10 to 11. Matthew 25, 31 to 45. Matthew 24. He is the one that shuts the door to the church that says, "Lord, Lord, and don't do the will of God." He should teach you now that this is the moment to do the will of God and be found right. Those who want to receive the Lord, repeat this prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I repent today, my Lord, and I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and blessed Savior. And my Father in heaven, today I receive the gift of eternal life that Jesus gave us at Calvary. Lord, protect me and guide my steps until I see the kingdom of God. Give me the Holy Spirit to fill me totally and lead me, and give me zero tolerance to sin. And Lord, bless me with your word in my heart. Transform me, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'm born again. Thank you. The Messiah is coming. Thank you.